listening to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'm Mommy Imperfect, aka Rena, and today I'll be talking about more of the new stories that make us think shut the front door, and also things that we want to just get other women's honest opinions on. Today, my lovely panel of fabulous females are Aman, Sita, and Romy. Have a listen.
Hi, Romy.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Aman.
Hello.
And hi, Sita. So, Aman, you haven't been on before, so welcome to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. Jiya and Frenny, we are Punjabans today, aren't we?
I know.
And love Punjabans. That'd be nice. So, listen, she said, oh, you know, I'm really sad that I'm having to withdraw this shoe. And she's basically said that the shoe was envisioned as a nod to modern art and surrealism. So, taking all that into consideration, do you think people are being too touchy? Is it just shoes? Or is it like a disgraceful, insensitive thing to even launch this shoe? Tell me. Romy, what do you think?
I think she really, I don't know. I want to say yes, that, you know, we should be over these things, but I don't really find myself in a position to do that. I mean, she should have had a panel or someone telling her that perhaps this could be a little bit, you know, perhaps this particular colour would offend some people. I think it's a pretty silly mistake on her behalf, actually. I'm assuming that she doesn't see everything, this clothing range and this shoe range of hers. You know, I'm assuming that she didn't see it before it kind of went out. I would have expected someone like Katy Perry to have think, actually, this might offend a few people, so let's have it in all these colours, but perhaps not this one. I do see what you mean, though, in terms of, like, you know, freedom of expression for artists and, you know, fashion people and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, people were offended by it, and I think she should have seen that coming.
What do you guys think, Aman and Sita? And what do you think?
I mean, it is, I get that she did that, but it is wrong. And also, I don't know if you remember or if you heard about it, in, I want to say, November last year, there was a petition because on Amazon there was a, like, you know, like the toilet mat that goes around your toilet base.
And yes, that's kind of what you're going to say.
They had the Golden Temple on it.
Yeah.
And that is offensive. You know, that is. And then there was even a toilet seat made with it on. And yeah, you know what? You can have art and stuff, but these, they're not just artifacts or religious buildings. They have a lot of meaning to people. Like, for me personally, it does mean a lot when I go to India. Like, it's always standard. You're going to go to Punjab and you're going to go to the Golden Temple. It's just like a right that I have as a Sikh. And not only as a Sikh, as someone who's from Punjab, full stop.
Yeah.
So I think there has to be a certain level of, yeah, there is art, but I think there's a very sort of fine line between it. And the whole blackface thing, I mean, it is offensive, full stop. You wouldn't see it now. I say you wouldn't see it now, but again, there is a Punjabi film that's come out today. It's called Gala Shagala.
Oh my God, yeah.
And there is a Punjabi actor, a grown man who's like, I mean, he's a comedy actor, he's a funny guy, but he's in blackface. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You've got a variety of actors you could have picked. You could have picked somebody who naturally has a darker complexion and celebrates they have a darker complexion.
Yeah.
But to black him up, I just think it's ridiculous. And their whole thing is, yeah, you know what? We've got a great story at the end of it. But yeah, you've got a great story. It's your art. It's your vision. But you have to realise that people are offended by that.
Were you offended, Sita?
100%. Because, well, I haven't seen the shoes, I must say. So
I worn some crazy shoes, right? Anyone who knows me, you know, Romy, some of my shoes are a bit out there, but I would never worn them. I've never worn them. They're no, not nice.
No, they're not very nice shoes in any color. They're not that great, basically.
But are you offended by the concept of it?
Absolutely, because it's by taking someone else's right and then just broadcasting, saying that, well, you means nothing. It just absolutely means nothing to anybody. So it's a bit like how I would say it could be used for Halloween costumes, for example, when people dress, fancy dress as Native Americans. Dress as, recently I've seen kids dress up in like Arab costumes. And it's just, what are you doing? That's someone's culture. That's someone's day way of life. That's And I know sometimes, quite often, people try to be nice. So, for example, if I'll have an Asian wedding, go to an Indian wedding, and we'll have friends who want to try and fit in and who are from a culture, I want to wear the same kind of clothes and fit in. And that could be considered quite offensive. Like I know you're trying to do a nice thing here, but actually wearing a bindi is an Indian woman thing. It's our thing. And you see people doing yoga and they've got it all over their faces and they're sitting there. And it's just, yeah, it's one of those things where do your research, understand what it means, where it comes from and why it's being used before then use it as a main of, you know, in terms of Katy Perry, a way of making money. It just makes no sense. Mm. And absolutely, what we said earlier, there should have been a panel because she probably doesn't look at everything that her company and her people produce.
Do you know that last week, actually, Gucci removed a black polo neck jumper from its shops that featured red lips, and it was designed to be worn over the face as a balaclava. And then also in December, Prada removed a series of accessories that resembled black monkeys with red lips. Now, what the hell? Do you think they're doing it on purpose to just be controversial?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, because it draws attention to them, doesn't it? Sometimes
they need kind of publicity because it just makes them look absolutely ignorant and stupid. I mean, does Gucci really need that kind of, do they need that kind of attention? I mean, it's really the wrong way of going about it. I mean, I saw the Gucci jumper and it's got the red lips on the polo neck. I didn't realize it was supposed to be worn on the face. But the black monkeys and the red lips and all that, it's just so borderline. It's just like, okay, somebody's brought that idea up. There should have been, you know, everybody else going, actually, perhaps not. Let's not do that. This is borderline. It's just not appropriate. Somebody will be offended by this. But it's difficult, isn't it? Where do you draw the line? Where does you stop being creative and, you know, make sure you're being sort of politically correct all the time?
Yeah.
I wonder if they even realise what they're doing, because I have been in situations where it's not even like something, anything in particular. And again, we're in an office and there's, like, for example, this is a real life situation. I was in a team meeting and they were saying, oh, we want to do a thing about, you know, we want to do things about job shares. So, you know, what kind of jobs do Asians do? And this guy said it, this white guy said it. And I just thought, I was thinking someone's going to come out and say to me, this is a joke. And I listened and I thought, let me hear the conversation. And then he said, oh, you know, and then some people were like, oh, yeah, you know, IT, I've got family in IT or phone shops, like all the stereotypical things. And then, like, you know, when you're just thinking this is not happening, I was like, oh yeah, we like being dinner ladies too, or, you know, threading ladies.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, I'm going to live up to every stereotype, or taxi drivers. And this guy was writing it down. I think he thought I was being genuine. And then I had to stop and say, look, I'm taking the mic and I find it offensive you saying what kind of jobs do Asians do, because I wouldn't go up to a black person and say, oh, what kind of jobs do black people do? So this, but he was so unaware. And I was thinking, this is happening. And he just didn't realize it, like what he's doing. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the fashion industry, they kind of ran with an idea. And then someone was like, no, you know, in that little world, they don't see that there's a world out there to speak to anyone. And there's no people of color on their team to say, maybe you need to get a consultant who's from India or Pakistan, or who's Asian or who's black, who can tell you a bit about why this could be, like, you know, misconstrued.
Sifa, you know what you were saying before about people that they're trying to do something nice and learn about the culture, but then they get it a little bit wrong. So I also saw this thing where a London fashion print designer called Sarah Auger printed Goddess Durga on a swimsuit. And apparently her collection was inspired by her journey through yoga and meditation. And she was trying to depict women's power and attitude. Now, you know, let's be honest, like I am actually a follower of Goddess Durga, right? And I have pictures of her in my house and stuff. And, you know, we've grown up kind of revering her. And yeah, she is a symbol of like the ultimate girl power. But what do you think, on a swimsuit, on someone's cleavage, on their bum? Is that okay or no?
I mean, in the day that we live in now, where the world is smaller because of media, there's enough resource out there to understand okay, I'm going to take this from this culture, from this religion, from this, whatever it looks like, what impact would that have? So there's no excuse for it. But sometimes it makes you wonder whether it's, they do it just to have a big impact. So publicity, be outlandish, and actually will look fantastic if I pull this out the market. But actually, I'm going to print this stuff now. Look at this, you know, swimming costume with Mata Durga all over the cleavage. Mm. And then when I say, actually, I know everyone's been offended, I've taken a look how fantastic I am. I've done a fantastic thing. I've recognised a culture and community, and I'm doing the right thing now. And almost giving themselves a round of applause for dealing with it that way. So I think sometimes you've got to kind of pull back and think, how has someone been so ignorant, especially if now the world is that much smaller? I mean, the four of us are talking right now in different parts of England. Well, I don't actually know if we're in different parts of England, but presumably. Do you know what I mean? It's just, the world is so much smaller right now. There's just no excuse for it, especially she's been studying it. She's been studying yoga, which is comes out of India, and anything else that follows with it. Why did she get it so wrong? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going to move on now and talk about the next thing. And I just want to point out, first of all, right, that this is not the kind of podcast where we sit around talking about men. But we did talk about men last week, and we're going to talk about men again this week. So, you know, sometimes you have to, because they're the yin to our yang, I guess, right? And this week, the reason I'm talking about men is because Sam Smith posted a topless photo of himself on Instagram. Now, who doesn't do that on Instagram, right? But he used the post to open up about his battle with his body image. And he admitted that he has starved himself in the past to... when he was going to do a photo shoot, leading up to the photo shoot, just to look good, and just battled with himself about his image so much. And so I just wanted to kind of touch on that, really. And then, you know, some other men have also come out in the past talking about body issues, like James Corden, Chris Pratt, Wentworth Miller. They've all been fat shamed at some point, you know, whether it's social media or whatever. So before we say anything, right, I thought, okay, let's get some non-famous men talking about this.
So I'm 50, and I don't think I worry too much about my body image. I care quite a lot about my health. I want to live a healthy life as I get older, and so I worry about my weight a bit because of the pressure it puts on my heart, and also my knees, because they start to ache a bit. And I still want to play a lot of sport, so I want to stay fit enough to do that. But what I look like doesn't really bother me.
I'm 23 years old, and in the past, I felt self-conscious about my body because I felt that I was too skinny. I didn't really feel like I was filling out my clothes. And I just always wanted to be a little bit bigger in terms of my arms and stuff. But I started to go to gym. Over the past year, and I felt I've filled out a little bit. I still feel that I've got a bit of work to do, but I am a bit more confident in my body than I was before.
So I'm 36 years old, and I've always been confident in the body that I have, whether it be when I'm losing weight or I've gained weight. Body image growing up for me was kind of not as talked about as it is now, and I'll put this down to social media and the presence of social media. Especially platforms like Instagram, which have these Insta models. These males and females are all super toned, muscles piercing through skin tight clothes, while promoting some sort of green tea or fat loss pill. It's a shame in today's society people feel they have to look a certain way just to fit in or be accepted. I personally think if you want to look a certain way, do it. Go for it, but ultimately do it for you.
Hi, I'm 40 something years old, and I have now decided finally to get a hair transplant. It's been bothering me for years, and now it's so cheap, so I'm going to be flying off to Turkey. I'm going to get my hair done, and at the same time get some new teeth put in. Not out of vanity, but out of personal satisfaction. It'll make me feel more confident, more alive, and plus the technology's out there.
I'm 42 years old, and I think you only need to be self-conscious of your body to the degree that it motivates you to go to the gym and stay in shape. Anything beyond that is vanity and a little bit decadent.
So there we go. A few different guys there, and from different walks of life, different ages. So what do you think then about men and the pressure that they've got on them today? Armin, you go first, tell me.
I think it is an issue for them, but I've noticed it more, and I say this because I've noticed it more in London. Like, I'm from Bradford, and I haven't, maybe it's slowly going to creep up there, but I've never heard my brother or anyone say they're conscious about issues, whatever. My guy friends that are there, I'm not saying they don't have those issues, but they're not as vocal about it. And they do, you do have, like you say, we're in a home where everything is at your hand. People, like, if you go anywhere, people are always on the phone, and they're looking, they're scrolling on Instagram stories or Instagram, or they're looking up fitness tips, and they are there at your beck and call, basically, if you want to have them. So it does kind of add to the pressure that you are facing. And then also it's like, you know, when you've got hashtags like, you know, Man Crush Monday and all that kind of stuff, and you've got girls posting pictures of the guys they like, that only adds, because you're thinking, actually, you know, I'm looking for a relationship, or even if you're a guy, you're looking for a relationship, and that's the kind of person they want to go for. So it does add to your pressure. And I mean, women have had this for years. And I think it is becoming more of a guy thing, but I have noticed my friends in London do talk about it. They do get conscious about, okay, I'm going on holiday, and I don't want to look different towards my friends. And I'm like, I will be like, literally, you're different body shape completely, as in you're shorter or you're taller, or your body will be different naturally, because, or even like jeans, like, your friend that you're looking at, he's Punjabi, he's probably going to be a bit broader than you, and you know, you're genetically not, because you're Sri Lankan, or, but you know, I'm not saying all of you are, but generally sometimes your genes are that way and it does affect you. So I'm like, well, you're shorter compared to him because you're Bengali. And he's like, yeah, but you know what, I want to bulk out, I want to hit the gym. But I just think, okay, fine, that's good. I'm always like, be healthy about it. And there is a pressure, but I genuinely believe it is a London thing. Maybe it's the city life, I don't know what it is.
So do you guys agree, Rami and Sita?
Yeah, I think it can be a thing about down south, definitely. I've got brothers that live in the north. One doesn't care. One is into his gym, you know, into looking good and stuff, but always has been. So it's more of a personality thing rather than him feeling pressured. I did have a friend of mine, actually, who lives down south, who had mentioned sort of on a recent trip that we went on that, you know, before her husband went on this stag do, that she didn't see him for like 6 months before, because he was just in the gym, because he felt like he needed to, you know, have this six pack so that he could go on this stag do, and, you know, feel like that, yeah, you know, that he was like, you know, that he felt good, that he felt confident to take off his top and all that sort of thing. And, you know, there was, you know, a group of 8 to 10 guys, and they're all pretty much doing the same thing because they feel that pressure of
they're just hanging out with friends
and look good. And probably the main idea is not maybe showing off your top, maybe it's just to have a good time or whatever, but still felt that pressure. And she, you know, felt that she didn't see him. It's really good that people like Sam Smith, James Corden, all those people are putting the spotlight on these types of issues. You always need, like, you know, a champion. We've got our female champions for these sorts of things, and it's great that we're getting the male champions come through as well. You know, things like anorexia, bulimia, they affect guys too. So yes, it's affected women longer, but yeah, it's great that these people are talking about it for the male side of things as well. Having a son and a daughter, I'm very thankful for that there are people, you know, who, you know, they do look a bit different. Look at James Corden, he's so successful, and, you know, he's a different shape than Mark Wright, you know, he's just a different sort of, you know, a different body type out there, and that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Sita, so what did you think after hearing that montage of different voices of men?
See, I was just thinking about everything you guys are saying, and I'm a man's woman, so I'm more comfortable in around boys, and it's because I've grown up that way. So I've got three brothers, my dad, my sister, but I was always a bit of a tomboy. And hanging out and hearing over the years how, you know, when you're with your girlfriends, you are, like you said, champions. Girls are very good at complimenting each other. And I know for myself, if I wear makeup right now, I'm just plain face knackered. But when you wear makeup, you do it for yourself first and foremost, but a woman will understand and notice the highlights and the contour and everything else a woman will give you a compliment, it feels better than it would if a bloke did. And I guess for men, I have noticed over the years, particularly with my youngest brother, who has more confidence than anyone I've ever met, it's because all of his little group of friends support each other. So if they are, you know, gymming, or if they are just going for walks or running, or even are a little bit on the podgier side, or whatever their shape is, if they've bought a new outfit or they've done a hair differently, they will tell each other they look good. And I love that. I love that. That's this nice. Is now become a thing that boys and men can openly do. It's no longer considered, you know, a taboo to say, actually, mate, you look really good. That hairstyle, just, you know, how did you do that? That kind of stuff. Things that we as girls have grown up doing with each other is plaiting each other's hair and telling each other what looks nice and what doesn't. When I can get older, you know, that kind of culture of, do I look good? Don't I look good? But this is what it's seen on TV, and having that open conversation. And I think sometimes, I'm hoping that this is just my opinion, as we get, you know, the younger lot come through, the more these conversations are open, the more the boys are open and sharing what they're thinking, what they're feeling. With the older generation, it's taken my dad a long time to finally say, well, actually, maybe I should look at myself, and maybe I should be a little bit healthier. And you know my dad, my dad's not exactly obese or anything, but everyone needs to be a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
But that's because he's grown, he's with us now. He's with my mum and he's with my sister, he's with me. And my brothers talk in the same manner where they're open and talk about all these things. So good on Sam Smith for saying, guys, it's okay to talk about yourselves and self-reflect whether you feel, point is, do you feel good? And that's it. If you're healthy, feel good, that's all that matters.
Because I think guys do care, don't they? Because, you know, like historically you think, oh, men just, they don't care that much about how they look, and it's more about women. And then if you can, if you, people say something to them like, oh, you put on a bit of weight, mate, that they just laugh it off and don't care. And I even know some people who you think they're just like the fat funny guy, and really when people have said anything about their weight, it actually hurts them. Yeah. But they wouldn't obviously say that to everybody.
This is really controversial, but we talk about James Corden and how successful he is. I don't think if he was South Asian, he'd be as successful, simply because South Asians are so hard on people that are bigger in size. Like, it's just a known thing. And I mean, guys don't get it as much, but I do feel like there is an added pressure that in South Asia, it's always a case of you're fairer, you're better. But also, if you're slimmer or you look fitter, it's you're better, you know. You don't see people of different body shapes. And also on the article that you shared where Sam Smith had said that, all the men, I looked at it and they were all white. And I was thinking, there's not a single black or Asian person.
Yeah.
It is an extra added pressure, I feel. I'm not saying they don't exist, but maybe that does affect their stardom as such.
I think if I think about like black celebrities, like men who are in the public eye, the ones who are bigger, they are funny guys, fat funny guys. Because you always have that thing of like, you know, there are fat funny guys, and then there are guys with six packs who are like, you know, the man crush guys or whatever. And yeah, if I'm honest, that's who comes to mind when I think of bigger guys who are black. And Asian guys, Indians, I mean, I was going to touch on Bollywood actually as well, because I've noticed a change in Bollywood. I actually think it was all right to be a bit of a fat guy in Bollywood and still play the romantic lead a while ago, maybe like 30 years ago. Remember Rishi Kapoor with his big fat dad and his over patterned jumper stretched over it? Still playing a teenage boy at the age of like 45?
Yeah. I mean, I just had the exact same image. You know, what movie was it? Was it Divana with Divya Bharati? Yeah, that is that guy. Yeah. It was acceptable. And the women were bigger too, right? 60s and 70s. They were bigger too, 80s even. I mean, you know, that's a sort of late 80s and 90s, that's when it started to be, you know, a bit more the other way. It was all about being slim and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you just need more of a variety out there. You're right. I mean, yeah, none of those guys were, I mean, like, you know, somebody, Ramesh Ranganathan comes to mind. You know, he's talked about his weight, hasn't he, on TV, and he's recently lost some weight. He was on Good Morning Britain the other day and lost a couple of stone. And some more people like him would have been better.
I think he has had a lot of issues about his weight I think he's had a lot of issues, felt quite insecure about his weight.
I mean, even his mum, when she was on a show with him, she was going, she was on, I think, A League of Their Own. She was like going, oh, don't sit next to Jamie Redknapp because, like, he's really good looking and you're not even worse. And then she goes, James Corden started chatting to her because he hosts the show. And she was like, I don't know why he's so fat. He's a vegan as well. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was all laughing and joking, but I thought, God, that probably does hurt to say, my God, even you're a vegan and you're still like this size. What's wrong with you? Do you know what I mean? And I just thought, no, you know, maybe it's just his body shape. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's just how he is, or maybe he's happy how he is. But yeah.
Also, I think it's important to remember for women and men, right? Because that these male celebrities who are known for being like sexy and ripped and whatever, if you see them when they are not training for a role, that they just, when they're just hanging out at home in their pajamas, they have like beer bellies and stuff. Have you seen Vin Diesel when he's out of shape? Have you seen a picture of him? He just looks like someone's dad, which is fine. Yeah. What's wrong with being someone's dad? But the thing is, even Idris Elba, because I saw some pictures of him recently when he was on holiday with his fiance, and she's, you know, there with her like thong swimsuit looking like all amazing. And he's just, you know, he looks nice. Obviously, he's Idris Elba, he looks sexy and whatever. But he hasn't got a six pack, because I don't know, he wasn't killing himself to get that six pack for a role. And remember, they get paid millions anyway to train and get these six pack. But there, it's important for guys to know as well, when they are just hanging out at home, eating fried chicken out of a bucket and drinking beer, they haven't got a six pack all the time.
Yeah, I mean, even Chris Pratt is, you know, if you look at older pictures of him,
he was a big guy. Yeah,
he was a big guy. And, you know, it almost seems like his success and his weight loss has sort of happened at the same time. You know, you could see it that way. Or he's now got the money to, you know, have the help, and or he's, you know, he's psychologically got some help, because he talked a lot about, you know, his own sort of mental issues with weight and sort of the emotional eating and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's, you know, it is good that it kind of feels like these sorts of people, James Corden, Chris Pratt, they're all still on the periphery. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still the lean, mean, toned guy, woman that still sells, you know. That is, you still have to go through that rigmarole of actually getting in shape. We say it all the time, don't we, before a holiday, oh, I've got to get in shape. Before anything, oh, I've got to get in shape. Or before a wedding, got to get in shape. You know, we're all guilty of doing that, because we all think that's what sells, that's where we need to get to, that's where we are acceptable, or, you know, not everyone.
Yeah. But how important is it to us as women? And you can say what you want, this is a safe space, right? How important really is it to us about how a man's body looks? See, you want to say something?
Something. I was just thinking, personally, they talk about James Corden. I've got a little bit of a crush on him. I'm going to say it. He's just funny. He's hilarious. And there's a lot of guys out there where I think, actually, their looks don't really matter. Another really embarrassing crush, I'm just going to say, is Patrick Stewart, who's a really old guy, got no hair.
Patrick Stewart? Was he a Star Trek guy? Oh, okay.
Yeah, love him. Wow, okay. But it's one of those things where sometimes, because the person, well, a woman, I don't know if it's just my opinion, but women tend to overlook anything else, because if a man's good to you, you just accept them. Whereas for a woman, you actually have to have the whole package. It's rare for you to come across a woman to say, you're a big girl and you've got a really great guy. I mean, the last example I could think of was Dawn French, and she had Lenny Henry. But you don't often see a big girl finding the love of her life.
So men have a bit more leeway. Were you nodding, Amon? I saw the top of your head. Were you nodding to that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and this sounds so mean to men, I'm not saying all men are like this. I think women will say that a guy's good looking. Yeah, I think Anthony Joshua is like the best ever. If there was an Indian version of him, I'd want to marry him. But realistically, I know that's not going to happen. And it's okay to look at him. And if somebody came along and they didn't have the six-pack and everything, I'm not going to say no to him. If I get on with him, then I think sometimes if you find someone, if you get on with them, you can find them more attractive anyway, because you're like, we're so connected, it's great. But I think the difference is men can't think that way. And men literally need, like, you know, like women can be stimulated mentally, but I think men need a physical stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they will see Kim Kardashian or they will see Jennifer Lopez and they'll be like, you know what? She has to look like that because she has to have the personality of like whoever. And, you know, that's how it all works out. You know, they can't have, I think, well, that's my experience of it. They find hard to separate the two.
Ron, what do you think? Because your husband is like, you know, a really fit guy. He does a lot of sporty things. And I've never seen him look out of shape in my life, actually.
I think his need to eat really well and exercise is really down to his mental health. He will literally, if he's not been able to exercise for like 3 days, or if he's ill, that is the worst thing, because then he just feels so grotty, so like he does get quite down on himself, you know. And so that his, I would say it's a healthy way. He just does it for his mental health. For him, it's like it's really important to eat well and to do these workouts. He's always doing a half marathon or, you know, a triathlon or something. And to do those things, you have to sort of constantly be, you know, fit and watching what you're eating and all that kind of stuff.
Do you care about like how muscular he is or anything like that? Is it, do you, have you ever said anything or do you care at all?
No, not at all. No, he's just naturally a slim guy. His genetics, I mean, like you were saying before, he's just naturally a slim guy and really struggles to put like a quarter of a stone on or a stone on, and he will literally go through the food trying to, you know, doing all those things to put weight on. But for me, at the end of the day, if he's happy and it's healthy, you know, he's mentally there, then no. Even if you put on a few pounds, you know, it doesn't really bother me. We've been together too long. It doesn't really bother me. As long as, if he's happy, then I would be happy.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you saw the article or that the kind of mini documentary that the BBC did in sometime last year, September time, but it was about penis fillers. So there are men who are like happy with how they look in terms of physically.
Yeah.
Like, but you know what? I'm not happy. And then the guy was like, well, no one's going to see that apart from when you're in a relationship. And they were like, yeah, but that will give me a confidence. And there was one guy who had the filler and he was having a second one. So it lasts 18 months, this filler.
Yeah,
you can't like have women have Botox. He had his top top. And then he was like, I feel like a man now, like even when I come out of the shower. And we don't realise. And look, I personally don't want to have it, but I'm all for it. If women want to have Botox or whatever done, it's their choice, you know, it's their body. I don't know how I'd feel about it if my niece or my mom or someone were like, oh, I want to get Botox done. But, you know, if you can afford it and if you want to, that's your investment. That's what you're investing in yourself. But it just struck me that is a length that I didn't realise that was such a big deal for men. Like, you just assume it's a women-centric industry, really.
Yeah, but I think, you know, like, with the penis thing, like I actually spoke about that on the podcast, like I think it was the second episode of the podcast, because that's around the time I started the podcast, and I was quite surprised at that. But with our bits, they're all internal, aren't they? With the guy, it's all out there, isn't it? And I think they do feel that kind of pressure. That's another thing. My god, it's like a six pack and then I've got sort of penis size out. My god, where does it end?
Well, you know how we, it's like a boob job, isn't it? Like, you know, we would have 10 years ago, we would have actively encouraged somebody who wanted a boob job just so that it would make them feel better. You know, we would. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a similar thing, Hannah, which is, I mean, boobs are definitely not internal. They are external. So it's a similar thing, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't have thought twice if a friend came up to me and said, you know what, I'm thinking about it, it's really bugging me, blah, blah, blah. I probably would have said, go for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And perhaps this penis fillers are sort of similar in that vein, you know.
And that's true.
Fillers of some sort.
fillers, yeah. Okay, so listen, the last thing I want to talk about is, yesterday was Valentine's Day, of course. Did anyone do anything good? Oh my god, the married woman on here is like doing a sick face. Why did you not do anything, Mums?
No, you know what? We've come to kind of like we've come to kind of not, we don't hate Valentine's Day. We just hate the forced, you must now buy me flowers and you must now take me out for dinner. And, you know, we'll do a card. And this year, literally, Sat bought me a Kit Kat. And because he knows I love Kit Kats, and it's the new pink Kit Kat, you know, it's the raw chocolate Kit Kat. And I bought him a bag of Maltesers. That's it. It's great for to partake in or whatever, but I think kind of we're a bit over it now. Like we do a little bit of sugging, you know, like the whole, like, here's a card. Okay, no. That sort of stuff. Never go out on Valentine's Day because it's just so awful. I mean,
oh, it's horrible.
It's horrible. Set menus and sitting there, and it's also like, oh, and everyone's, I'm just looking at everyone else because it's like, you know, it's more fun. I don't like the forcedness of it anymore, and we just don't need a particular day to say that I love you. So it's I don't know, I'm sorry, I've just been married too long.
You know what, I actually used to think, oh, who the hell celebrates Valentine's Day, it's just so lame. But I don't know what it is, the older I'm getting, I'm actually thinking I actually do want to celebrate it in a way. Like, and we had a conversation a couple of days ago, and he was like, we don't do Valentine's Day, do we? And I was like, actually, I actually really like red roses. And he was like, oh, do you? Ha ha ha, and laughing. And then actually, when I came back from taking the little one to playgroup the other day, there was like red roses on the table, and he'd bought all the girls, all three kids, a chocolate rose.
Aww.
And his toy. So it's quite, you know, and he actually does do that, to be honest. He gets me and the kids something every year, and I got him a free party bag size pack of love hearts.
He would have loved those. He is sugar king.
Yeah.
I'm at my happiest on Valentine's Day. No, I know this sounds incredibly lame. So whether I'm in a relationship or not, I am obsessed. It's because I was trying to explain this to my friends who are all miserable about it. To say, if I had a day dedicated to my favourite, so my favourite artist is Florence and the Machine. So imagine having a day dedicated to Florence and the Machine, her music playing all the time, people are buying her merchandise, and there's sweets and stuff all dedicated to this one woman who's fabulous. And I was like, that's essentially what Valentine's Day is, and it doesn't have to be love between partners. Every year my dad will get us all chocolates. It doesn't matter if you're the boy or the girl or if you're mum. My mum will always get a really cheesy card, and literally all they write to each other is, to husband, love your wife. Or he'll write to wife from your husband, and that's it. That's as cool as they get. And even historically, like you say about going out on Valentine's Day, it's hilarious watching all these couples, and it's so cringy. I love it. I just love it. I'm in charge of quite a lot of people at work. But on Valentine's Day, everyone knows I'm at my happiest because I'm all just around, and I'm just like, guys, like, it's Valentine's Day, and just really just like saying really nice. And I encourage people to say nice things to each other that one day, because things, life gets stressful, life gets hard, and I know you shouldn't, you know, commit one day to being nice to each other. You should be nice to each other all the time. But why not celebrate love? It's like, what could be more nicer to celebrate than love itself? Whether it's for your family, for your children, for your friends, for your pets, just do something a little bit extra nice. And when Monday, I use Snapchat. So, because my friends and I were all in a different paths of our lives. So I've known girls since I was 2 or 3 years old. Some are married, some are traveling, whatever it looks like. So we do a day in the life of on Snapchat. So that will literally take pictures and make a video throughout my day. And one day was just a normal day, went to the office, but it was just, I was just a little bit giddier. I was a little bit nicer. I was wearing makeup because I decided I was going to make an effort. And it just turned into a more of a positive day. And then when stressful things were coming my way, it was a laugh. And I'm petrified on the managing director. And that, for some reason yesterday, because of how happy I was, I didn't have any sugar, any coffee. It was just, I just went into his office and may have accidentally flirted with him a little bit. But I was like, hey, please don't tell me off today. Can I come back tomorrow in a bad mood? And it made him laugh, and we just ended up having a really good chat.
He loves, love, love. Aman, are you a bit more cynical, or do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there was once upon a time where I really wanted it to be, like, amazing. And I'd be like, if I was in a relationship, I'd want it to be everything. And then now, like yesterday, I kept seeing people writing captions, and I was just like, oh, stop it. And it was so annoying. And then, like, literally, I was seeing him and I was like, why is this guy carrying balloons? I'm like, why is he carrying, like, I was getting annoyed, like, you're getting in my way, take your balloons and get in a different lane. and I, it's not that I don't know what it is. It's not that I'm not envious. I think it's just, maybe I'd be different if I was in a relationship. I don't think I would. And I think actually if I was, I'd be like, don't put any kind of PDAs out there, because I don't want anyone to see, like, if we're happy, we're happy. They should be able to see it on my face and not on my status anywhere. But what I did do was, me and my housemate, we got a Nando's, we got a takeaway, and I went to collect it. And the worst thing was, it was like an hour's queue. And I was like, he was like, it's an hour. And I was like, I've got a takeaway, I'm not sitting here. He was like, oh, that's fine, go to the front of the queue. And everyone was miserable, because I'm like, all you want to have is a Nando's, and there's an hour's wait, so you can't even enjoy your Nando's.
Too many lovers in line.
I was just like, you know, I literally, they all looked miserable. So I was just happy that we'd ordered a takeaway from home so I could get in the car and take it. And then she was like, what took you so long? I was like, oh, don't ask. It was just rammed in there, but, you know.
Okay, so we're on with the theme of love, right? And the last thing I want to ask you guys is, who for you is couple goals? Who is couple goals for you? Which pairing do you see and think, this is love and this is what I aspire to, whether it's celebrity or real life couple?
I think for me it's Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. I think just because the way they're raising their children as well, for me, obviously I've got children too, so that's really important to me, and that I really just aspire to not be them, but just be a little bit like them. I think they're pretty cool. So I would definitely pick those guys, yeah.
You know what? I used to think Will Smith and Jade as well. I used to think if they ever break up, I will literally start crying and just lose all faith in love, right? But then, I don't know, like, oh, I don't know about them, whether they have an open marriage or whatever. I don't know. I think their marriage is a little bit unconventional. So now they have actually been replaced by Barack and Michelle.
Oh yeah.
I think if any controversy came out about them and their marriage, or they broke up, I would probably just, I don't know what would happen to me. I'd go to counseling.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, for someone who, that, you know, they obviously, have you read the book?
Becoming. I'm reading it. I've started.
So yeah, just from that, you know, book alone, the way they've supported each other, and again with their children and their journey, yeah, that's a pretty good pick.
So how about you guys, Aman and Sita?
I would go, this is, I mean, they're only quite newly married, but for me it's Ranveer and Deepika. I'm obsessed with Ranveer anyway, but I'm just happy for them. Like, literally, I saw everything. I mean, their wedding was extravagant and everything, but it's just little things. Like, they had a very intimate wedding, like, for their initial wedding ceremony, and it was just the way that he was looking at her and she was looking at him. And even, like, afterwards, he did an interview for the Asian Network last week with Haroon, and even on that interview, he's saying, like, I wanted to marry her a long time ago, and he's like, little things that she does. And everyone, I mean, I've seen comments, people say, well, you know, why does he expect his wife to care if he's eating or, like, looking after himself? And he's like, but that's really important, because of the industry that I'm in, people don't care about that. They don't care that I'm eating well. And her point to that was, if he doesn't do that, she's like, those things affect my mental health, and I need to know that he's okay for my own sanity. And I just thought, that's actually, like, that's how I loved it. Like, literally, she cares about him so much that she wants to make sure he's okay. And I've just literally, I just think that, I think they look really good together. And I think if anything came out now about them, I would be really upset. Like, I'd be like, I can't believe that, we know, went wrong for them.
Yeah.
I love his comments on her Instagram photos.
Oh, the best. Like, yesterday, he was so, like, sweet. Mari Dongi. And I was like, yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, he loves her so much.
Yeah.
See, Sita, do you like them as well?
I don't... Okay, so for me, it...
Oh, my God.
It's just too... Oh, it's too full on for me. I'm so sorry. I can't. But if I was to go for a couple, I think outside of Bollywood, it would be Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson. So they are old school. They've been married since probably longer than I've been alive, to be honest. And they celebrate each other. They support each other. They laugh at each other. And it's one of those things, when you're in a relationship, the all of the cuddles and kisses and all that stuff, that kind of eventually kind of starts slowly kind of burning out, and you get old and wrinkly and gross, and you end up in wheelchairs or whatever it is. But you end up with a best friend, and that's the hope, isn't it? Someone who makes you better, and someone you feel better around. And that's what I see when I see them. And there's another couple with Jesse Tyler, who's, I don't know if anyone watches Modern Family, but he found his partner, and he got married to his husband, and Justin. And all you ever see is, and again on Instagram, is them just really pushing each other. One of them is an actor, so, and he's ginger and he's gay, and you know, and for a long time he thought, the world is against me, I've got nothing going for me. And all of a sudden he lands this, and prior to that he has this husband, and they just really push each other and just really support each other. And the other guy just runs and does marathons and has his own kind of charity line, and it's just so sweet the way they are. And it's not cringy, is not the whole, you know, the early honeymoon phase. It's very much, we've been married for ages, we've been a couple for ages, and we have this life together. And I guess we go to Bollywood, Shah Rukh Khan. Like, he did not leave his wife. Soon he got famous, very famous, ridiculously so. Probably wooed every woman and every everyone and anyone that everyone loves. You know, Shah Rukh Khan is mine. He's mine. And then he's had these beautiful children, one of which, of course, it was surrogacy, but he's never said nothing. He's always been, my wife has her own stuff, she's going to do what she wants, and we have these kids together. And he's just so protective and so loving, and they're just mates, and they just take the mick out of each other. And that's what I think anyone sort of strives for, is someone you can grow old with and just look your worst and, yeah, be a bit smelly and a bit grim around, and that's great.
Okay, ladies, we've been talking for like quite a long time, and I don't want to edit anything out now. It's going to be the longest podcast ever, because it's been so nice speaking to you. And yeah, I'm going to let you go now, Bernie. So see you all soon. Thank you.